Introducing our very first speaker of the evening, Norman Cohen. I have the speaker bios here. Everyone was allowed to submit a bio, give some background information. Some people wrote quite a bit, but so Norman's. All right, bear with me, guys. Norman has resided in this neighborhood for most of the last 31 years.
Thank you, Katie, and thank you, Amanda, for having me and everybody for coming tonight. The reason why that's my bio, there are sort of two reasons. The first one is that while I may have had some brushes with greatness, greatness has never happened, and that's why I'm still in the neighborhood after 31 years. And, of course, the other reason is that I've had a career of jobs, 17, and it would be all night if you had to go through my entire bio, so we'll just leave it that I live in the neighborhood. And the other thing is that all of these stories, and there'll be one main story and just a little, three little stories, was because happened 30 years ago or so. So it's been a long time since I've had brushes with greatness, and you'll see why it just didn't work out all that well. So the first one took place in 1977 or so, and I was living in a Quonset hut in Bethel, and it was the evening that the Title VIII of the ANILCA, the subsistence title, was conceived, and it was right in my Quonset hut. The only thing is, though, that you don't get a footnote for cooking dinner at your Quonset hut as your contribution to this great event. The second was in the early 80s. I happened to be the radio voice for the Wasilla Warriors girls basketball team. So some people who were part of that basketball team and those events will become a lot more famous than me, but you know. In any event, that was my brush with greatness during that period. And the third that I'll just mention briefly that also didn't work out very well was I was on McNeil Lehrer. And, you know, that's sort of a big deal here in us PBS watchers. And so this was the Exxon Valdez, and they called up and they wanted somebody to speak about the fishermen taking control of the oil spill. And we had to go talk about Pete Dislib, who's a fisherman who used to live in Cordova, and myself went over to K2 here, and we were interviewed. And I guess it didn't work out that well because that was the only time McNeil Lehrer called me back for speaking about the oil spill when they called Denny Kelso 23 times, so I guess he was greater than me. But the story I really want to talk about also took place in the early 80s, and I was a legislative aide that year for a guy named Tony Vasca from Kalskag, but who was, introduced himself as Vasca from Alaska. And that's how he made sure everybody knew who he was. In any event, that was the year of the coup, and I know there were people around here, but during that time I had a girlfriend who was one of the reporters for Capital 1981. And anyways, the session was over, and eventually I moved back to Anchorage, and it was also, because of the coup, it was sort of a discouraging time for Democrats in Alaska, but there was one hope, and that hope was that Tony Knowles would get elected mayor of Anchorage. But after the coup and sort of this deflation, the polls were showing that Joe Hayes was going to win, and he was pretty far ahead. Now, there were probably some people here who remember this, and this is my story and my facts, so if you have others, well, that's okay, but these are my facts. So anyways, one night I was going over to some friends who were sort of active Democrats in Anchorage, and we had just been, in my mind, been given a gift, and that was that Joe Hayes's campaign manager, a guy named Bill McConkie, was quoted in the Daily News or the Times, and his comment was, I will lie to get my candidate elected. And if we know from this last election, lying to get elected is really not that unusual, but to say that in was sort of unusual. So, wow, you know, this seems like a pretty good opportunity. So I raised this idea with people. Well, you know, looks like the only way to turn this thing around is to make Mr. McConkie the issue. But so I decided, all right, well, I made my pitch and had dinner and went home. And about 3 or 4 days later, I said, okay, they called me up and said, okay, it's time for you to go deliver the petition. And I go, what petition? And they said, oh, well, based upon all of that, we all got a petition together to have Joe Hayes fire Bill McConkie. And I go, you did? And they said, and you've been chosen to deliver the petition. And I go, oh, my gosh. So, okay, so I said, well, all right, I'll go do it. And one of the interesting parts of the petition was the first name on it was a Trick family up in Anchorage, that part of Trick, Nyman, and Hayes, which was Joe Hayes's engineering firm. So, you know, it's sort of like maybe this thing had some legs. So I dutifully picked up the petition and started walking over to Hayes headquarters, which I think was on C or D, about 5th, maybe D or E Street. And all of a sudden, I see my girlfriend, who was at this point the anchor of KTUU TV, waving to me and saying, oh, you know, and this sort of, I'm going, what are you saying? What are you saying? You know, it's, I have no idea what she was talking about or making all these kind of faces at me. And so I walk up, and what's there but two cameras from KTUU? And I'm going, what? These, nobody, what am I doing here? And I started walking down the steps. And I'm going, uh-oh, I can't just leave and look like this, you know. I mean, this is like now on TV. So I went upstairs and I handed the petition to Mr. McConkie. A good friend who had seen me on TV said, boy, he looked like a scared rat. But in any event, it became a big news story, and the pressure became on Joe Hayes to take action and fire McConkie. And all of this time, he was started bleeding in the polls. And eventually, he did fire him, but at that point, it was too late. And the election came out, and Tony Knowles was the victor. And so, you know, I've never, I'm still here on Star Hill. Nothing ever became of it all. But, you know, and it's always good to remember the old saying, there's never an end to good you can do if you just don't take the credit. And so now it's 31 years later, and maybe I'm taking some credit. Thank you.